for those who want to dig deep and grow strong. This is the Vintage Truth Podcast with best-selling author and teacher, Jeff Kinley. It's time to power up your faith and take your walk to the next level. Now, here's Jeff with today's podcast.
You know, it is important to take your walk to the next level. I mean, why would you not want to do that? Why would you want to stay where you are? Why would you just want to be okay? Why would you just want to get by spiritually? That's not what we're doing here, folks. The Vintage Truth Podcast is all about helping you take it to the next level. And one way that we do that is through this podcast, and other ways that we do this through other media production. Oh, by the way, by the time, let's see, probably in about a week after you hear this podcast, God willing, I'm going to be launching the Vintage Truth Bible Study on my app. You say, Jeff, what is the Vintage Truth Bible Study? Well, Wednesday nights here locally here in Little Rock, I am teaching a group of people through different topics in the Bible. I was approached by some folks and says, hey, would you teach us the Word of God? I was like, yeah, sure. So we're meeting on Wednesday nights, and I taught through the book of Jude, and we're putting together this these talks. It's an eight lesson series, and it's just me standing up and teaching some people here, so there's not anything like ultra dramatic. I mean, we don't have a professional video crew, but we do video it, and it looks pretty good. And we're continuing to hone our skills on that type end. But anyway, so I'll be teaching eight sessions through the book of Jude, and it's available exclusively on the Vintage Truth app. And if you don't have the Vintage Truth app, my friend, you need to get it right now. Go to your phone and do this. See this little VT thing there? See if I can focus in on that. There we go. See that little VT thing there? There we go. That's the Vintage Truth app, okay? Get it. Vintage T, man. And on there, you not only get to watch and listen, or listen, you can choose either one, this podcast each week, but also all the Vintage Truth Bible studies are going to be on there, okay? The only place they're going to be. Oh, absolutely. You can check that out. But if you have Apple TV, you can also get the Vintage Truth app on your Apple TV and also see the Vintage Truth Bible study, and also on Roku. So all that's through the app on those platforms, okay? So there's that. Also, I told you last time, you order a copy of this book from me, and I'm going to send you free in the mail. I'm going to send you a hard copy of this book, which my wife says is my best written book, okay? Uncovering the Mysteries of God, and the audio version of this book for free, all right? I'm just going to throw it in. And so here's how you do that. You go to jeffkinley.com, and you make a donation of $25, And then you can put a note in there when you do that donation. I found this out, and you put a note with your donation and send a message to me and just say, Jeff, aftershocks. And then I'll need your address to do that. And $25 will cover all the shipping and handling for this bulk mailing thing. So yeah, just shoot me a note. Just says, Jeff, I want to order aftershocks. Sign it to this person. Sign it to me. Whatever. And I also want Uncovering the Mysteries of God as well. And I'll be happy to do that. Okay, cool. Now, we're going to get back into our study on what motivates you. And last time we talked about fear being a motivation. And healthy fear is a good motivation, right? You don't run through a red light, because part of the reason why is because you fear having a wreck. Someone T-boning you, or you getting, 400 stitches in your face. So fear can be a healthy motivation. We talked about that last time. Let's talk about another, on more of the positive side, the motivation of reward, because we just touched on that last time, right? Have you ever thought about reward? Have you ever really thought about what kind of reward you're going to get in heaven when you get there? And have you ever considered the fact that not every Christian is going to get a reward? People say, well, are there degrees of reward in heaven? Yes, there are. There's also degrees of suffering in hell. Jesus made that very clear. And so, yeah, when we get to heaven, we're going to stand before the Bema Seat of Christ. I believe this is going to happen right after the rapture, is when the bride of Christ is going to be brought before him. And we're going to appear before Christ, and he's going to give each one of us who deserve a reward. So this is really a kind of an obvious question, but maybe you've never asked yourself this question before. So I'm going to ask it for you. Do you want a reward from Christ? Do you desire for Jesus Christ to give you a reward from Him? Do you desire that? Do you desire to receive a crown from Him? Do you desire for Him to honor you because of your service to Him while you were on this planet? You see, as far as we know, there's nothing in the Bible that tells us that we're going to earn rewards in heaven, but we earn all our rewards now. And there's going to be all kinds of rewards in heaven, all kinds of crowns. There's going to be responsibilities we're going to have. There's going to be, the Bible says we're going to judge angels. We're going to be in charge over cities and over nations. Some of us, not all of us. So we talked about last time the fear of not receiving more. Let's talk about the reward that we're going to receive. And again, we're going to look at two passages here, one we just touched on and one we looked at a little bit last time. 1 Corinthians 3, it says in verse 14, if any man's work which he has built upon, it remains, he'll receive a reward. In other words, it says before that that God's going to reveal it with fire. So that fire represents the fiery evaluation and judgment through the eyes of Christ. By the way, we see that in Revelation chapter 1, where his eyes are a flame of fire, right? So he's going to look at our lives. He's going to look at what we did for him from the moment we became a Christian to the second we were raptured or when we passed, okay, when we died. And based upon that, he's going to review that. He's going to scan that, and he's going to reveal what's there. You know, other people can't really see what's there sometimes. And sometimes we even can't see what's there. I wrote a book here a few years ago called Gifted Mind, and it's the autobiography of Dr. Raymond Damanian, the man who invented the MRI machine. And you think, oh, how exciting. Yeah, it really is. It's one of the most exciting stories that I've ever even heard about, much less had the privilege to write about. But Dr. Damanian is like this major Einstein character. He is, and he's a believer, and he believes in Genesis, believes in the Bible, and believes that God gave him the idea for the MRI machine, but you have to read the book on how that happened. There's so many God stories in this thing, and yeah, it does get into the science of it, but even I was able to understand some of it, all right? But here's the point. The MRI machine reveals things that x-rays don't find. It reveals things that CAT scans can't find. It uncovers things about a person's body that nobody else can see. And essentially, what God's going to do is going to take the body of service that we had for Him while on planet Earth, He's going to put it through His MRI. He's going to put it through His judgment. And based upon that, it'll all be revealed. And only the parts that are good are going to show up, because the rest of it's going to be burned away, right? So that useless service that you gave to Christ because you felt obligated or whatever counts for nothing. But the service you gave from your heart will count for reward. Let's go to another place in chapter 4, the very next chapter, where Paul says this. He's talking about his role as an apostle, but listen to the way he describes it. And this is a great example for you and me. He says, let a man regard us in this manner, as servants of Christ, as stewards of the mysteries of God. Mysteries of God, okay? The servants of the mysteries of God. And he says, in this case, moreover, it is required of stewards that one be found trustworthy, or some translations say, faithful. Now, let me ask you a question. How did Paul view himself? I mean, we're talking about the Apostle Paul. He's bigger than me. He's bigger than other people that you might have name recognition for, bigger than Billy Graham, and all. He's bigger than everybody. There's nobody more famous, more impactful, more set upon a pedestal in the Christian world than the Apostle Paul. But listen to the way he views himself. He doesn't say, me, oh, me, the great apostle, of course, I know. Me, oh, the one who wrote or is writing 13 books in the New Testament, That's me. That would be me. Thank you very much. No, he didn't say that. Look what he says. He says, we look at ourselves in verse 1 as stewards of the mysteries of God. That word steward that he uses there is a Greek word, huperetos. And the word referred to a slave who rode in the Roman ships. Okay, if you've ever seen the movie Ben-Hur, you know what I'm talking about. But there were tiers in these Roman ships, and the huperetos typically was in the lower tier, the lowest tier of the ship. That was the one where they got the most torque on rowing. And there would be these slaves down there, and they were chained to their bench, essentially, and they were rowing. You know, on one side there'd be rowers, on the other side there'd be rowers, and they're just down there rowing. And what are they rowing to? They're rowing to the beat of the drum of the guy up front. Boom, 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 boom. Sometimes the ship needed to go faster. Boom, boom, boom. You know, they're just rowing. That's all they do. I mean, obviously in very good shape. But Paul says, I'm not up top. I'm not the captain of the ship. I'm not steering things. I'm not even giving orders. I'm down here in the bowels, in the belly of the ship, in the sweaty, nasty part of the ship, serving Christ. And I'm rowing. I'm just rowing all the time, working hard all the time. That's how Paul saw himself. And he said, what do you really want out of a rower down there, a huperetos? What do you want out of those guys that are down there doing that? You want one thing, faithfulness, consistency. Not brilliance, not greatness, not intelligence, not great oratory skills, faithfulness. Not fame, not a great platform, not someone who's a Christian celebrity. Faithfulness. Paul said that's what God's looking for. He's looking for faithfulness. And you know, sometimes I'll say to people, I said, you know, people that are going to come and, you know, follow me in my life, if you're going to be my disciple, this is what I'm looking for. I'm looking for fat people. Faithful, available, teachable. Faithful, available, and teachable. See, if you don't have those qualities, there's no way you're going to win. If you think more highly of yourself than you should, not going to win. And you know, I get those people sometimes, people that have, they want to accelerate themselves to the front of the line, that they want to position themselves to a point where they're now established as a voice in preaching or Bible prophecy or writing or whatever, and they're amateurs. They're complete amateurs. You know why? Because they've never been down to the bottom of the ship. They walked on board on a plank and said, all right, where's my seat? And God says, your seat, you're going to go three stories down, and you're going to be chained to this bench, and you're going to row, and you're going to serve. We're going to see if you can serve. People don't want to do that anymore. They don't want to start where they are. They want to start at the top. God says, nope, nobody starts at the top. Nobody starts at the reward ceremony. You start way back down in the bowels of the ship. My friend Paul said that about himself. And he said, what's required of a steward is that he become faithful. But watch what he says in the remaining a couple of verses here. But to me, it's a very small thing that I should be examined by you or by any human court. In fact, I don't even examine myself. You know what Paul's saying? As he's down there rowing in the bottom of the ship, I don't really care what you think about me. I don't care if you think I'm rowing wrong or I'm not sweating enough or I wasn't dressed properly for rowing that day. He says, I don't really care what you think about me. I'm rowing to the beat of that drum from that captain or that leader, whoever he is, that's up there at the front of the room there. Your opinion means nothing to me. My friend, don't worry about what other Christians think about you, because on that day, where are they going to be? They're going to be standing individually before God, if they're even in heaven, getting their own judgment. So don't let them impede your progress. That's the worst thing you could do. Don't look at other runners as you're running the race. You run for that finish line. But continue to listen to what Paul says. I am conscious. Now, he said, I don't even judge my own heart. I'm not even smart enough to do that. He says, I'm conscious of nothing against myself, yet I am not by this, the fact that I'm not conscious of anything, I am not by this acquitted. But the one who examines me is the Lord. Is the Lord. He will examine me. Now, verse 5. Therefore, do not go on passing judgment before the time when we're all going to be judged, which is the Bema. But wait until the Lord comes. Rapture, right there. Who will both bring to light the things hidden in the darkness and disclose the motives of men's hearts. Wow. Did you get that? Now, Christ is not going to just... So, in verse 5, I'm going to go back to verse 5 for just a second here. Don't go on judging before the time of the rapture there. But wait until the Lord comes, who will bring to light both the things hidden in the darkness and disclose the motives of men's hearts. So God is going to look at the motives. He's not just going to look at what we did or how we did it. He's going to look at why we did it. Honestly, we all have to admit, there are times when we're greatly motivated. It's pure. We know exactly what's going on. There are times when we're not motivated. We do it anyway by faith. There are other times when we really don't know. I mean, I think I'm motivated the right way. Is there a little ego involved here? I don't know. Could there be? I hope not. I asked the Holy Spirit to give me a check on that to make sure that anytime I'm speaking before a large crowd or before I'm signing a bunch of books or I get a new book contract or I get a lot of attention because of whatever reason on a show or whatever, there's this little Holy Spirit check in the back that just says, remember who you are. You're a rower. You live in the belly of that ship. That's what you're doing here. And it's okay for people to say, I love your work or your, you know, whatever, or people to praise you in the right way, because we should encourage and lift up and build up each other. That's okay. You're not gonna give somebody the big head just because you tell them that God used them in your life. That's kind of dumb. But obviously you don't want to put someone in a place where they don't belong, and you don't want to unduly praise them, and you don't want to overdo it, right? But you do want to lift people up. But the bottom line is, that's fine, but the real praise, the real reward is going to be on the Bema Day. Some people are getting all the reward right now, you know, for whatever reason. All the attention, all the accolades, everything, they're getting it all right now. And there's not going to be any left. God's going to say, well, you got all your reward on the earth. You enjoyed all this accolades and fame and celebrity on the earth. There's nothing left for you. People loved you and praised you and lift you up there. Nothing left for you now. You want there to be some reward left for you in heaven. And I believe there will be. Because watch this. If you do it right, it says, he'll disclose the motives of men's hearts, and then each man's praise will come to him from God. Each man's praise. Now, I know friends of mine who take that passage to signify that every Christian will receive some sort of reward. I think that's very possible, because my goodness, how can you become a Christian and not do something for Christ, not serve him in some way? So yeah, I can totally see that. I can also see that each man who has the right motives will receive praise from the Lord. So I can kind of see both those things. But here's the bottom line. Look at my time here. The bottom line is that when you stand before Christ, he will give you the reward that is justly deserved of you. You're not going to be cheated out of any reward. So don't let any person, or for sure, Satan, cheat you out of reward. God's going to give you what you deserve. And that's the positive motivation. People say, do you really want to get rewards? Didn't that sound sort of selfish? Mm-mm. And I'll show you why here in a podcast or two, why that's not a selfish thing. But You ask me, do I want rewards in heaven? Are you kidding me? Yeah, I want rewards for spending a lifetime in the bottom of the ship, rowing and serving in some way, sometimes in not fun ways, you know what I'm saying? Working very hard for him. I want a reward. Do you? Do you want many rewards from Christ? I sure hope you do. And so I hope this positively motivates you to go after those rewards. We'll see you next time.
Thanks for listening to the Vintage Truth Podcast. Please subscribe and share with a friend. For more about Jeff's ministry, go to jeffkinley.com.